If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. As we go through the book of 2 Peter, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, when we look at some contemporary things that have happened, we've seen an amazing athlete, Muhammad Ali, pass just a few days ago. Just an amazing athlete, amazing character. He said some amazing things, and you know, if you're into boxing at the time, he was it. I don't think there's anybody before him or after him, at least so far, that was at his level. Just a brilliant person. He was born Cassius Clay in a Christian home. His father was a Baptist minister, and during the time of the 50s and 60s, when the racial tensions were very high, he saw refuge in the Nation of Islam. And because of his public status, they drew him right away into the group, and they utilized his fame to promote the Nation of Islam. Elijah Muhammad was also, his father was also a Baptist minister. Elijah Muhammad's name was Elijah Robert Poole. And under the same circumstances, racism during the time of the 30s, 40s, and 50s was extremely rampant. And Elijah Muhammad found refuge in this man named Wallace Fard, F-A-R-D. Now, Elijah Muhammad, he mentored Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan, a deceptive, demonic religion practice, but it drew people in. And Muhammad Ali changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. Elijah Muhammad also, his name again was Robert Poole, Elijah Robert Poole. His name was changed initially to a Muslim name, Kareem, and then Muhammad. Well, why am I saying this? Well, this is important stuff to understand, because listen, Satan is drawing people away from Christianity because people are not born again. They're just hanging out in the churches. They're just walking with Christians. They're growing up in Christian homes, and they're not really surrendering their lives. And we can't let people go. We can't give them away to the den of hell. So Muhammad Ali was brought into the Nation of Islam, and this Elijah Muhammad, when he first met Wallace Fard, who had started what's called the Universal Negro Improvement Association, Elijah went up to him and asked him, "Are you the Redeemer?" And he said, "Yes, but my time has not yet come." Now, he was a convicted felon. He was a draft dodger and had been imprisoned. And when Elijah Muhammad came on the scene, all of a sudden Wallace Fard disappeared. They don't know what happened to him. He's gone. I can guarantee you he wasn't resurrected. And Elijah Muhammad began to take over and draw really brilliant people in. If you've ever heard Malcolm X speak, or even Louis Farrakhan, although their words are poison, God has gifted them with unique talents, but they're not glorifying the Lord with them. And I'm not supporting them at all. Don't get me wrong. So when Malcolm X found out that Elijah Muhammad was a con man, a fraud, he actually impregnated several teenage servants of his. And when this came, like a handful of them, and when this came to light, Malcolm X separated himself from the Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad and started his own sect, if you will. Muhammad Ali was used as a pawn to promote the organization again as well. But not to take away the gifts and talents that God had given Muhammad Ali. We've seen the wonderful parades and things that have happened when he's come into town. You know, shortly after he had the the rumble in the jungle, the people were following him, just amazing because of he stood for something that they didn't have. Someone in the black community who stood up and who achieved, who was well-spoken, who had goals and objectives. But let me tell you this. The very second that his spirit left his body, there was no parade for him in heaven. His daughter said before he died, they were chanting Islamic chants to God, to Elijah Muhammad. And so he's not being honored in heaven with parades. In fact, based upon the word of God, that at the name of Jesus, there is no other way to heaven. He is in hell today and regretting every word that he's ever given. That's pretty cold stuff to start, isn't it? But don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Satan is a liar. He doesn't always come with a demonic force of a religion. He comes sometimes as an angel of light with a little bit of truth, or a lot of truth, but a little bit of poison. If you drop one little drop of cyanide in this water, would you drink it? No, it poisoned the whole well, right? The whole water. I open with that today because it's contemporary. It's what's just happened. And the classic scholar Aramis said these words. Listen to this. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Did you capture that? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. In other words, someone with some knowledge is better than someone with no knowledge. Listen, each week that you come in here, the Word of God, the truth of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is coming from the pulpit because we're teaching the Scriptures, the truth of the gospel of God, and in it has power to live. God has given us life. That life is in His Son. We preach that. We promote that. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We do that here. We do that now. He is Lord and He is King. But some people have been in church, perhaps influenced by the Scriptures, and never really surrendered their life to the Lord. And I would assume these guys did the same thing, and they were drawn away. Jesus speaks in Revelation in the end times that there'll be deception, amazing deception that happens that would draw away even the elect if that's possible. So listen, we need to hold fast to the truth of Scriptures. Because Satan does not want this taught in the churches. He wants us to have puppet shows and programs and all these other kinds of things. And now you laugh at that, but that's what's happening in some congregations. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Listen, you have the words of life to build up people around you, to draw them closer to the Lord so that they would surrender their lives to the Lord. Listen, each week we come in here, and we offer you a notepad in the foyer there. So if you don't have your own Bible or your own notebook, I don't know what you're writing on. But I don't know how you remember all the stuff we're talking about. You see, we need to become students of the Word. So each week we come in here, the Lord is giving us some food to digest, some spiritual food to chew on, to gnaw on. And some of the points that are made, hey, listen, you may need to hear again at some point down the road. Jesus sat in the temple. What did he do? He taught. He sat down and he taught the Scriptures. He taught the law, the Old Testament. He prophesied. He spoke truth to the people. And so we as students of the Word, rightly dividing the Word, showing ourselves approved unto the Lord in the book of James, we need to be students of the Word. Because it's by every word of God that we live and we breathe and we have power in. Now, we've been in ministry for 10 years. 10 years. We have two services a week. That's 1,040 sermons that we've preached in our church. 1,040. Now, if you ask me in the 10th sermon that I preached, can I remember what I wrote? Of course not. What would I have to do to know that? I'd have to go back to my notes to look and to see, right? So there was a group called the Bereans in Scripture that when Paul spoke, they went back to the Scriptures. Is he telling the truth? Man, I don't understand that. Is that right? They looked at the Word and tested what he was saying. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're not just taking my word. I hope you're not coming to church to be entertained or just to listen, but that you're engaged in what's happening, because the walk with God, listen, is an experience. As we digest the spiritual food, the spiritual truth, we begin to grow. We begin to understand that joy and that peace and that oneness with God as he talks about in Scripture. You may say, well, Pastor, I've been coming here. You're not that great. I don't feel that. I'm not getting this joy stuff you're talking about. Listen, you're not going to get it from me. You're going to get it from the Lord. And so the words that are spoken, the scriptures, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. My illustrations are not ordained. They're making a point on the ordained word. Listen, let's grasp this and live it. Hold fast to the promises of the Lord. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I said that I can guarantee, based upon what we know, that there's no parade happening in heaven because Muhammad Ali's there. Because based upon his words, he's not. But Paul tells you and me in the scriptures, as we talked last week, that there's going to be an abundant entrance made for us. Those who are filled with the Spirit, those who have been immersed in his word. Listen, those who have added to their faith. Added to their faith. You mean there's more that I have to do for salvation? No, I'm not saying that at all. There's nothing you have to do for salvation other than to believe. But listen, to grow in your faith, to mature in the wisdom and the things of God, we need to add now to our faith. We need to add because there's so many things we need to detract as well. He says, set aside all the filthiness and the drunkenness and all the things that are happening in your life. Add to your faith virtue, holy God, holy living. Knowledge, to know what the scriptures say. If someone says something and it doesn't sound right, but you believe it, you could be wrong, right? How do you know it's true? Well, because you've gone back and you've read it yourself. Because it says right here, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Satan's going to tell you every time you sin, God doesn't want nothing to do with you. And it's the opposite effect. God grabs us and holds us. It's the Lord who's going to usher us into the throne room. He says an abundant entrance will be made for us. Wow. This is truth. This is from the scriptures. We pick it up in verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, what was he talking about? If you do what things? If you add to your faith. Just a recap, in verse 3 in chapter 1, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises. And through these, you may be partakers of his divine nature. God has given us all the things that we need to live this godly walk, with him. Not apart from him, but with him. And verse 5, but, there's a contrast, he's given to that, but also be very, for this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So now he's saying, therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, if you add to your faith these things that Peter has told us here, you will never stumble. You will never be shaken in your faith. And so when something happens in your life, now you may be shaken on your own because you haven't trusted, right? You may be trying to figure out on your own wisdom, hey, this doesn't make sense. I'm shaken by the word. But if we hold fast, if we've added to the scriptures, or not to the scriptures, but if we added to our faith the virtue and the knowledge, the understanding, listen, when something in our life goes as we haven't planned, we won't be shaken. We'll continue to trust in the Lord. We'll continue to hold fast. Listen, when Peter walked on the water, everybody knows the story, right? Peter walked on the water because he kept his eyes on Jesus. When he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened to him? He began to sink. But what did Peter do? Peter looked up to God. Help me, Jesus, I'm sinking, right? His eyes turned to the Lord. And so when our lives, appear to be sinking, if you will, look up to the Lord, because he's the one who's giving us that abundant entrance into the kingdom. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have your own Bible, please highlight that promise. That's a promise to you from God through the Holy Spirit by the hand of Peter. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Why does he say this? Because in 1 Corinthians 3:15, it speaks of those who are just going to get by as if, you know, running past the flames of fire. They're just going to, oh, I just made it, right? Get by the skin of their teeth. You're just barely going to get in, right? What's the difference between the two people? Well, one has matured in their walk. They've added to their faith. They're not stumbling, right? And the results of their life is a life surrendered to the Lord, giving to the Lord, empowered by the Lord, serving the Lord, ministering to people. It's a life that has been set apart, as Paul says, poured out like wine. Here's my life, Lord, use me. And God will use you in so many different ways if we let him. What happened? Well, you've matured. You've grown up in your faith. You've gone from Jesus loves me, for this I know, for the Bible tells me so, till I can experience the resurrection, the glory of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, and his suffering as well. There's hard times sometimes in Christianity. We suffer because of our faith. Sometimes we know exactly where it came from, other times we don't. Things are not going right in a situation. You may work in an office where your boss hates you, nothing's going right. You ever think there could be a demonic, supernatural, spiritual force that's engaged there? If they're not a believer, there is. There certainly is. I've had that with several people. Everybody in the office loved me. My boss didn't like me. For what? He'd throw jabs in comments, Bible boy, Bible thumper, all the. There was a spiritual element that was happening. Now, I understand that, right? So I didn't let it shake me. I wasn't shaken. Why? I've added to my faith. When something happens in your life, you're not going to be shaken with God because you've added to your faith. Now you have understanding. You know because you've read the Word. You've studied. The Scripture's given you power to overcome. Meyer says there are two ways of entering a port. A ship may come in waterlogged and crazy, keeping afloat, barely making it, or it may come in very smooth with its flag on its mast. You know, listen, you could. There's two ways to land a plane, right? You can crash, that's a landing, or you could glide in smooth, right? You could land on all the wheels. That's what we want our lives to do. We don't want to just make in, thank you, Lord, I got saved at the last minute. No, my whole life has been surrendered to you, Lord. At least the time I got saved, Lord, I want to know more. I want to serve more. I want to do more. I want to surrender more, because that's the key of a growth, surrendering to him, being empowered by him. And then my life begins to reflect that. Charles Spurgeon says this, just one more thought. It said that the entrance is to be ministered to us. Christ will open the gate of heaven, but the heavenly train of virtues and the works which follow us will go up with us and minister as an entrance to us. Listen, the Bible says that we have treasures in heaven. So the things that we have done for the Lord are waiting for us. The rewards for those things that are happening in heaven. We need to think about that. We're not taking anything with us. How can we be sure that God has called us and that we're elect? Number one, God says so and experiences this calling by doing these things. You'll experience the calling of the Lord by when you believe in him. First come to him by faith, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come to him by faith. Now, as you add to what he says, you'll experience that walk with the Lord. Why? You've been mature. An infant who's on the baba and does never walk will never experience what it's like to walk or grow or mature, right? So as long as we're content with, you know, the milk of scriptures, we're never going to grow. We're never going to experience, hey, when I've been down and I've prayed to the Lord and he's opened up a miraculous way, wow, I know the Lord's in it. When Jesus changed the water to wine, the only ones that knew that Jesus did that miracle were those who were close with him, the disciples and his mother Mary. Those who were with Jesus, close to Jesus, experienced it, but knew where it came from. And so now as I walk with the Lord, I understand, Lord, thank you. You've opened up this door. Thank you, Lord, you've closed this door. And many times we want to open doors that God's closed. You ever been there? Trying to make something happen? God, there's been so many times that thank the Lord he didn't give me what I wanted. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. That some of you guys may have a girlfriend. I'm just saying it's not working out. Don't push it. Might not be from the Lord. Let the Lord lead your life. Girls, too, you might have a boyfriend. You're trying to make it happen. The Lord might be putting the brakes on that. Don't force doors open that he's closed. And then here's the other thing. Sometimes Satan will open up a door, but God will give you discernment and wisdom not to enter and to know that it's not from him. And so I've shared with some of you before, but I was promoted by the sheriff, Ken Jenny, when he was in office, to a supervisor. But I was going to seminary school at night. And I wanted nothing to do with that because that would have put me on the midnight shift somewhere and it would have taken me out of God's plan for my life. I was preparing to serve the Lord in this capacity. And so Satan holds this carrot out here. Hey, you're going to make 20% more money at the end of your retirement. That's a lot of money. And you're going to have power and prestige now and you're going to make a lot more money than you're making now. Now that looks like a blessing from the Lord, doesn't it? How do you know? How do you know it's not a blessing from the Lord? Because everything about it would have taken me away from where the Lord had me. And the Holy Spirit gave me the power. When the colonel called, I said, no, I have to turn it down because I'm going to seminary. And then I was afraid that the sheriff, because he was a tyrant, I was afraid he was going to be offended after I turned it down. But whatever. God protected me. So sometimes things look like a blessing, and they might not be a blessing. Because it would have taken me totally out of God's plan. And so the discernment happens as we're surrendered to the Lord, matured in our faith, looking for the Lord for the answers, not our friends, right? Or even ourselves. How many times something happened in your life, the first thing we do is call somebody. Wait a minute. Go to the Word. What does God say in this situation? What does He say? Somebody rips you off? You want to get back at them? What does the Scripture say? You look it up. What does it say? Because I know what it says. But the test is yours. Listen, what's happening in your life? Are you living by the Scriptures? Are we walking as Christian men and women? Or are we just fools at the end of our life? We were never born again. We were just following the crowd. And there isn't going to be an entrance made for us. Jesus determines how we get to the Father. We can't make the way. He is the way. No one gets to the Father but through Him. It doesn't matter how many Hail Marys you think you need to say. It's not going to get you into the kingdom. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me, period. No one else. And that's a life surrendered to Christ. It's a life that as we are sanctified, set apart from the world, set apart unto the Lord, takes a lifetime. God's just continually taking that flesh out of us, that fleshly desires, those fleshly wants out of us. Why? To make us into the image of His Son. So that we can draw other people to Christ. Because He says we're light. Light illuminates what you can't see in the dark. So you are an illumination to truth to those who are in the dark. So often we want to reject everybody who's not a Christian. Get away from me. No, wait a minute. I'm not telling you to hang out and go where they go, but love on them as Christ did. Give them the Word. If they reject it, okay, you planted a seed. He says you're salt. Salt adds flavor. Salt preserves. Here's what else salt does. Don't miss this. Salt creates thirst. You ever hear it say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Give him a salt tablet. He'll drink a whole gallon of water in a second, right? Salt creates thirst. You create thirst for what? For the living water. Man, you have that peace about you in spite of what's going on in your life. You know, I've watched you so often. You don't blow your top. Man, I would have gotten so mad. You ever been around those people? Initially, I hated those people. No, the ones that were so cool that they never moved. Like, this guy. Before I became a Christian, it was a guy on the midnight shift that I worked with briefly. He was probably in his late 40s. I was in my early 20s. And I was very aggressive, and I wasn't a believer. And it was just something about this guy. He was always like this. It didn't matter what happened around him. He was cool, calm, and collective, and a very kind person. And I liked the guy. It's not that I rejected him, but I didn't understand why he was always that way. So I always looked up to him because he had something I didn't have, and I didn't know what it was. But after I became a believer, I found out he was a born again. He never said a word. But his character and his conduct was shining like nobody else in the whole department that we had at the time. And so he was that light and that salt. There was something about him that caused me to draw a closer friendship with him. And he never got to evangelize to me, but now I understand what happened. Listen, there's people around you. You might not be perfect, and you're not perfect. So let's start off that. Nobody's perfect. Start at that level. But God's now going to equip you and enable you to love somebody, to show them that you care about them. Listen, just to listen to them. You ever be with somebody, they can't wait for you to stop talking so that they can tell you how much they know? Shut up and listen. Listen, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to this mountaintop, and he transforms himself in his glorified state. And Elijah and Moses appeared to them and were talking with them. So they were talking to people who had already died. And Peter steps up. Let's make an altar for you, you and you. This is a wonderful. And God says, and I would have said if I was God, shut up, Peter. But he says, you know, be silent, be still. This is my son. Listen to him. So often we want to talk. We could learn something from somebody. Or listen, somebody just may want to get something off their chest. Man, I can't. You don't always have to correct. My wife's teaching me this. I don't always have to correct her in her situations. I just sometimes got to listen. I'm learning. She's teaching me this. Because we always got the answer. Men want to fix things. Women want to talk about fixing things. Right? I'm just saying. Don't get mad at me. So when my wife's got something she wants to talk about, I'm like, I got the solution. Forget the conversation. We're done. 2 minutes into it, I know what to do. She doesn't care what to do. She wants to express that. But people may have no one to talk to in their life. Or perhaps they've grown up around a ton of people, but no one's ever affirmed them as a person. They didn't have that father figure to say that you're good, you're okay. Or a mother figure to encourage them that they're good, they're okay, that they're loved. But now that we come to the Lord does that, and it's fulfilling. It's a fullness of love that he gives us as we walk with him. He affirms us, you're good, you're okay. I have made an entrance for you. I have a mansion for you. One day, I'm going to bring you myself into the presence of my Father. Wow. That's his promise. That's his promise. Okay, Pastor, but I'm here stuck. I got to work tomorrow. My back hurts. I got all these things to do. Yes, we're living in a fallen world, and we have to function. But we can do it, empowered by the Spirit. And what that looks like is an enduring faith, a persevering faith. Remember, he said, add to these things. There's fruit that happens. So we're able to endure. We can continue on. Listen, there's been so many things that have tried to draw me away from the pulpit, draw me away from ministry early on. Oh, you can do this. You can make more money here. You can do that. Listen, no pastor gets into ministry for money. We're not in it for the income. We're in it for the outcome. Okay? We're in it for the outcome. We want to draw all men unto Christ. That's the reason why we're in ministry. But there's so many things of the world that would want to draw you away, especially, you know, if you're a pastor with, you know, 20,000 people, everybody wants you because you're a good communicator and they think it's you. But listen, you ever see somebody like, man, this guy's terrible. How come his church is so big? I'm just using this as an illustration. What's going on? Everything's working out for this guy. He talks funny. He doesn't dress right. You know, how come it's the Lord's hand upon him. He can't do it apart from God. And listen, the amount of people in the church doesn't mean the Lord's hand is on you, because Farrakhan's got tens of thousands of people following him. But what I am saying is it's the Lord's anointing upon your life that will enable you to do what he has called you to do before the foundations of the world. And so if God has called you to do something, you may have been distracted in your life. It could be narcotics, it could be arrests, it could be all kinds of things that have happened in your life that has taken you off track. Get due north, because God is the one who has the plan for your life. And you won't know what that plan for your life is, listen, until you surrender to Him. Until I came to the Lord, I had no idea. This would be the last thing I thought I would be doing, a pastor, a preacher. Are you kidding me? But I'm so thankful that this was His plan for my life and that He brought it to fruition. I didn't do it. The Lord, step by step, issue after issue, trial after trial, endurance and perseverance, this is the product. And now people who are bearing fruit from this ministry, listen, what we're doing in the church today and staff is we're planning for the next generation. What does the church look like? What does it look like? Well, just to let you know, last week we brought in 500 and change in tithes, which is absolutely nothing in light of the expenses that we have. But God's providing. I'm not worried. I don't panic each week. In case any of you have forgotten where the tithe box is, it's right over there. Just in case, I'm just saying. But it's God's church. He has to provide. So we're a little church like this, but we have a radio station that's going on air real soon. We're in the process of planning a seminary, evangelist, and leadership school for adults. Satan doesn't want that to happen. He wants people to hold back their tithes so there's no money in the church, wants somebody to get offended in the church and leave. He doesn't want the work of the Lord to happen, but God is greater than Satan. And we rejoice in the promises and we hold fast to Him, not to me. Paul tells the people that were following him, follow me as I follow Christ. But if I get off track, don't follow me. Well, correct me and put me back on track. But if I don't, stop following me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving this message today because it wasn't the one that I had planned. And so, Father, you are just mighty to be praised. And, Lord, I just pray for anyone who doesn't know that they know they have eternal life right now, perhaps coming into the church each week but haven't totally surrendered their life to you, Father. I pray now that their hearts would be moved. And if the Lord is speaking to you and you really haven't committed your life to the Lord, say these words after me. They're my words, but your prayer. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you would be saved. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I believe you died for my sins. You descended into hell and rose on the third day and are seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Father, forgive me. From this day forward, I am yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The Bible says if you've said those words, you've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life.